السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak occasion of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah with afiyat. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes it such that we appreciate this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes it such that our last day of this earthly life is Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. Those people that generally take care, they look after, they show concern for this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, very often it happens that Allah Ta'ala makes it such that their last day becomes the day of Jumu'ah. Why? Because they gave it that extra concern, that extra effort. They took care of it, Allah Ta'ala. So their mort also takes place on this day of Jumu'ah. The topic that I wish to discuss today is this topic of contentment. Contentment is a very great gift from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not everyone has got it. Sometimes a man that is very, very rich also, he doesn't have this wealth of contentment. And because of that quality of greed that is there inherently in a person, what happens is the person that has got everything, so to speak, even this person feels as though I don't have enough. So this chase continues. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, لَيْسَ الْغِنَىٰ عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرَضِ. That ghina, this contentment, this happiness, this inner richness. This contentment is actually an inner richness. So this contentment is not having a lot of assets. It's not about how big our balance sheet is, how much of foreign assets we have, how much of money we have in our banks, how much of buildings and investments we have in this world, how much of gold and silver we're able to store. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this got nothing to do with true richness, with that inner wealth. وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَىٰ غِنَىٰ النَّفْسِ. That person who's content and that person who's happy with what Allah Ta'ala has given him, this man is actually a rich man. He is really rich. Why? Because his heart is not constantly desiring and wishing, I just want more and more and more. That is actually a poor person. And a poor man that is content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, that man is a rich man. And one of the ways of bringing contentment in our lives is be happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam has mentioned, Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum, wa la tanzuru ila man huwa fawqakum. As far as this worldly matters are concerned, as far as wealth is concerned, as far as our social status and standing in this world is concerned, don't look at those that are above you. Don't ever look. If I'm driving a Toyota, I mustn't look at the man that is driving a Mercedes. A man that is driving a Mercedes mustn't look at the man that is driving a Ferrari. Like that, we don't look at who is above us. If I own one building, I don't look at a man who owns two buildings. A man that is owning two buildings, he doesn't look at a man that is owning buildings overseas. We don't look at those that are higher in us as far as financial status is concerned. Yes, where we look at those that are above us is in deen. That man is able to wake up every day for tahajjud salat, and he can spend 2 hours in tahajjud and he can make zikr. I'm only waking up for half an hour every day for tahajjud. That man I should be looking at and I should be wishing, oh Allah, how you can make me like that man. If that man is so charitable and he can give so much of charity, his heart is open and he wants to give all the time, oh Allah, make me like that man. So those in deen, we look at them and we always want to be like them. There is no harm that we should be absorbed in Quran Sharif. Whenever I come to the masjid, I see this man is in Quran Sharif. Oh Allah, how you can make it such that I also can come early to the masjid and can be involved in Quran Sharif. So when it comes to good deeds, I want to be like that person that has good deeds. That man that has good akhlaq, this person respects his parents. He has so much of respect to his parents, so much of respect to the senior people, so much of mercy he has to the young people. Oh Allah, make me like that person. So we look in deen at those people that are above us and we make dua that Allah makes us like that. But when it comes to financial matters, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us a very nice recipe to be happy and content. That don't look at those that are above you, look at those that are below you. If I got a car, look at a man that doesn't have a car. Suddenly that Corolla that I got now will feel like a Mercedes. When I look at everyone around me that doesn't have cars, so many people have to walk. They don't even have a bicycle or a motorbike. Oh Allah, you gave me a car. How appreciative that he'll look after and he'll value that Toyota that he's got. He won't be looking at those above him and wishing that what a scrap car I got. He'll be happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. So in worldly matters, always look at those that are below us. I got a house to say, never mind if it's a one-bedroom flat also, but there are people that are sleeping on the street. Recently I heard of an incident one brother was mentioning. He said that value the mattress that you got and value this blanket also that you got. Because if you have to spend one day on the concrete in the street, you'll remember and you'll realize how, what a great ni'mat this pillow is also. What a great ni'mat from the side of Allah Ta'ala. Every night we are going to sleep in our luxury beds. We got the blanket over us. We got a nice pillow to sleep. We got a nice home and a roof over us. Do we ever think about those people that are sleeping on the streets? What they must be going through in the cold, sleeping on that concrete with no roof over them. If the wind and rain suddenly comes, they all have to go helter-skelter. This is also a ni'mat from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that look at those that are below you. You'll make shukr for what Allah has given you. You'll be happy for what you got. Even if you got a sickness, a man has got a sickness, he's got some difficulty maybe breathing or maybe he's got a heart problem, a person has got a sugar problem. But he looks and he thinks about those people that are in ICU, those people that are on ventilators, those people that are not even conscious. Then he'll make shukr, Wallah, you're allowing me to see, you're allowing me to listen, you're allowing me to be with my family. Never mind I'm going through this difficulty, oh Allah. But there are so many people that are worse than me. One poet so nicely said that I complained that I had no shoe until I saw a man who had no leg. Then I realized that, Wallah, at least you're giving me feet to walk. There are people that don't have legs also to walk. So then I make shukr that even though I don't have shoes, I still make shukr to you, Allah, that you have given me feet. So this quality of appreciation, contentment is a very great quality. In Abu Dawud Sharif, there's one hadith, Akhir ibn Sabira radiallahu anhu, he was from the Banul Muntafiq tribe. So he explains and he gives his incident. He said that we had come with a waft, we had come with a delegation to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was the envoy, Laqid ibn Sabira, he was the envoy. So he had come with this delegation to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not there at that time. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was there. So from behind a parda, she had made some arrangements for something for them to eat. The first lesson we learn from this hadith is that when anybody comes to our home, we must offer them something. We offer them something to eat. We must make them comfortable, make them sit. Unfortunately, sometimes our lives have become so busy that we just keep one bowl of sweets there. Anybody comes, we put the bowl of sweets. The sunnah practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is he would ensure that any visitors came to his home, he would offer them something. So after some time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he met this delegation. The first question he asked them is, Asabtum shay'a? That did you people have anything to eat? This was the first question he asked when he came. So they said, yes. In other words, that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had made some arrangements for them to have something to eat. So whilst they were sitting there with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explains that we heard the shepherd coming and he was bringing the flock of sheep, and there was a baby sheep that was there that was making the sound that a sheep normally makes. A small baby, normally you'll hear the sound coming out. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the shepherd that what did you deliver? What was it? So he mentioned that it was a small sheep. So Rasulullah told him that in place of this one sheep that was born, either it was a small sheep or a small goat, in place of this, slaughter one sheep. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells them very nicely that don't think that I'm slaughtering this for y'all. Don't think that I'm slaughtering this sheep for y'all. We have a policy. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam mentioned the policy that we have, that we don't wish that the flock must go more than 100. This is our ceiling. In other words, it's 100 sheep. And we might ask ourselves, what was the need for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have 100 sheep? Was because there were constantly delegations coming. Sometimes there were people that were coming from far and wide to learn deen, etc. So constantly there was a need for a flock of sheep. People were in need for sadaqah, etc. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take care for them. But this policy is, we don't want it to increase over 100. In other words, we are happy and content with what we got. We're not constantly chasing and chasing that this number must become bigger and bigger and bigger. And that is our problem today, is every year I want that my business must grow, my assets must grow, I want everything to increase all the time. And if it doesn't meet that target that I got, if it doesn't meet that budget that I got, then automatically I'm saddened that how could I have lost this target that I've got. And many people, you speak to them, they'll tell you that I had a bad year. Why I had a bad year? I was targeting to make 20 million more than last year and only made 10 million more than last year. But yet that's something to make shukr about, not something to complain about. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then goes on and tell him, فَإِذَا وَلَدَ الرَّاعِ بَهْمَةً فَحْنَا مَكَانَهُ شَاتًا. This is what we'll do, is we'll slaughter something in place of that and we maintain that limit that we have. A very important recipe for a person to get contentment is don't constantly chase and chase. Be happy with what Allah Ta'ala has given us. There was a very great person by the name of Abdullah bin Marzuq, Rahmatullah alayh. He had lived during the era of the Abbasid ruler, Al-Mahdi. So in this zamana he was living, and he had a life that was a very luxurious life, filled with entertainment, filled with amusement. This was his life. So one day, whilst he was drinking his wine and enjoying the entertainment and the songs that were going on, he happened to miss his Zuhr Salah, he happened to miss his Asr Salah, his Maghrib Salah. So in this condition, and they had one slave girl that would try to remind him all the time, for every salah she tried, but he was not taking heed. He didn't benefit him in any way by her reminding him that the salah was going. So one lesson we learn from here is to have someone near us and around us reminding us to do the right things is a very great blessing from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we get upset that why this person is reminding me, why he's phoning me and telling me it's Fajr time. We mustn't get angry, we must get happy. That person is saving us from a very great calamity by reminding us to do the right things. This is the benefit of staying in the company of a good person. So anyway, when it came to Isha time now, what she did was she took a burning ember from the fire and she just touched his foot with it. And when he got and burnt, he yelled and he screamed, "What are you doing?" So she replied very nicely and he said that you are unable to tolerate this fire of this world. How are you going to tolerate the fire of Jahannam? You're going on like this. Now this struck home. It hit him in such a manner, in such a way, that he immediately made qaza of all those salats that he has missed. And now he thought to himself that this is a reality. If I couldn't take that burn that I went through because of this fire of this world, how am I going to tolerate the fire of Jahannam? When a man is sincere and he's genuine, Allah will make a way out for him. Allahu makhraja wa yarzuqhu min haythu la yahtasib. When a man has taqwa in his life, Allah will find a way for him out from every difficulty, every hardship, every problem. Man must be sincere and clear in his heart. So he was sincere, he was clear in his heart. What he decided to do, he said, "I'm going to give everything away in sadaqah. All my wealth, I'm going to give it." He freed all his slaves. And now, he lived a very simple life. And what he used to do is to sell vegetables after that, to make money and earn income. This is also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm not saying we must give all our wealth away and everything away. Person won't be able to sustain himself. But a person should do things with mashura. What can I do to rectify a wrong that I have done? One easy, simple way that ulama suggest is every time you make a guna, you do a sin, take out some money, some sadaqah, and give it in the path of Allah. Something that will make you feel the pinch. Not one 10 rand. If a man is a millionaire, he gives a 10 rand, he'll feel nothing. Take out something that he'll feel the pinch. It was something that I had to give. Next time he wants to commit the guna, he thinks to himself, "Hey, I'll have to pay him again." So for example, I have to give 10,000 this time. Next time again, I'll have to give 10,000. Automatically, it'll put him on guard. So anyway, he lived a very simple life, selling vegetables, etc. So one day, two great people came to visit him, Sufyan ibn Uyayna and Fuzail ibn Iyad, rahimahumullah. They both came to visit him, and they saw that he was sleeping on a brick. He had no blanket there, no pillow, and this was the condition he was sleeping in. Now look at these great people. If it was me and you, what we would have said? Shame. This man lost everything. This man has lost everything. These great people, their minds already went to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What question did they ask him? They told him that it is the system of Allah Ta'ala, that a man that gives up something for the sake of Allah, Allah will give him something better in return. Hadith of Muslim Sharif, "Man taraka shay'an lillah, awwadahu Allahu khayran minhu." That man who gives up something for the sake of Allah, Allah will give him something better in lieu of that. Allah Pak, make it such that we bring this in our lives. Sometimes we find it very hard. I want to give up this television, but it's so hard. How can I give up this television? I got this money that I'm borrowing on from the bank, this interest, this overdraft. How am I going to give it up? It's so hard for me to give it up. I'm so carried away with my different business policies, etc. I don't want to give up the insurance. It's so hard. Think of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man gives up something for the sake of Allah. Allah will give him something better than what he gave up. So they asked him that, what did Allah give you? You are in this condition with a brick. You're sleeping like this. Everything is given away. He said, Allah Ta'ala has given me peace and contentment. Peace and contentment. What a thing. Something that money can't buy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. Why? Because for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had given it up so that he can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't think that we're going to give up anything for the sake of Allah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take us further away from him, even better. And this great quality of contentment is such a thing that will make, as I explained, even a poor man rich. And it can make a rich man extremely poor. In these last 5 minutes, I don't have too much of time. For the last few minutes that we got, I wish just to explain that these days that we are coming to are the Mubarak days of Hajj, the Mubarak days of Qurbani, etc. And in these days, we must be extra, must be on guard even extra. There'll be a lot of things to tempt us, a lot of things in the name of Deen that will invite us. We have to be extremely careful that we don't get carried away. In one ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَذَرِ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَعِبًا وَلَهْوًا وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَذَكِّرْ بِهِ أَن تُبْسَلَ نَفْسٌ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ. That leave those people. Unfortunately, we're in a time and age, whenever something good is coming, whenever Mubarak days are coming, sometimes we want to create some entertainment around it. For example, now it's the last 10 days of Ramadan, and now it's about to come Eid. Then what we want to do, we want to create some fair, some entertainment. So we must have on Eid Milan, and everyone must be called there, ladies and men, and intermingling, and sometimes there's photography and nasheeds. We want to make an entertainment out of everything. We want to make a tamasha out of everything. So one poet very nicely, he said, Khaja ka darbar mein, ganja ka bepar hai, tum peepe raho, main bhi peepe ho. That even now, at the place where a person's supposed to be taking a lesson, and that is a qabrustan, a qabr. So what happened is now sometimes we go to the qabr of a buzruk, and now what is happening? Ganja ka bepar hai. Zol is being sold there. And the person is saying, you carry on pulling, I'm also carry on pulling. The sea kebab is going and the entertainment is there. At a place where a person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Fazuruha, that go and visit this qabr, they'll remind you of maut. At that place also sometimes, I'm talking of myself, Allah ta'ala protect me and all of us, that sometimes we want to make even the qabrustan a place of entertainment. So here sometimes I'm explaining the days of Eid, the last 10 days of Ramadan, you'll find fairs coming up. And now also in the days of Qurbani, you'll find a lot of entertainment that is coming in the name of fairs and agri-fairs and what. And people that know what's happening there, I haven't been to one, but people that know what's happening there, they'll tell you there's all sorts of entertainment that ladies and men are mixing. Sometimes there's clowns that are coming there to entertain the children. And there's pop-up stalls. And that spirit of Qurbani, that spirit of leaving out your desires for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is completely lost. It has become a spirit of entertainment. Qurbani is there to remind us of the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that for the sake of Allah, this great personality was prepared to put the knife on the neck of his child. And here we are making an entertainment out of Qurbani. So this is something that we have to be very careful. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told that you leave out, you stay away from those people that have made their deen a play and an amusement. وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, and this worldly life has deceived them. وَذَكِّرْ بِهِ أَن تُبْسَلَ نَفْسٌ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ, and you preach with this Quran Sharif, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lest a soul be taken to task, be held back, be detained for what he has earned. لَيْسَ لَهَا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيُّ وَلَا شَفِيعٌ. A day is coming that a person won't have anybody as his assistance or his intercessor besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن تَعْدِلْ كُلَّ عَدْلٍ لَا يُخَذْ مِنْهَا. If this person is prepared to pay the ransom of the whole world, he won't be able to ransom himself on that day. Ulama explained beautifully, in this world, there are three ways a man can come out. If a man is caught up, he's in custody, he's taken to prison, for example, or he's detained, there's three ways he can come out. The first way is if this person has got power or influence. He's a top minister, he's got power, he's got influence. He can use his own power and his own influence and get himself scot-free. The second way he can do it is if he knows people that are in power. So he can get somebody to intercede for him to help him out. Or the third way is a man of money, he's got money, he can buy his way out. So in this ayat, Allah is bowling out all three. That he's got no wali, he's got no power himself, he's got no shafi, he's got nobody that can intercede. Wa in ta'adil kull adli la yukhadh minha. Even if he's got all the wealth of the world, he won't. Ulaika alladhina ubsinu bima kasabu. They are those people that have been detained because of what they have earned. Lahum sharabun min hamim wa adhabun alimun bima kanu yakfurun. They will be made to drink boiling water. And from another ayat we learn that boiling water is so severe that it will cause the intestines to burst. Wa adhabun alimun bima kanu yakdhibun. And these people will be given a very painful punishment in return for their disbelief and for their denial. Who are these people that's being spoken about? Those that have made their deen a play and amusement. Anything comes, let us make some tamasha out of it. Let us make some entertainment out of it. Let us be careful, brothers. These days that are coming are very, very Mubarak days. It should never be such that even the day of Qurbani, we want to make tamasha out of it. Person is about to slaughter the bull. Now he's got somebody videoing it, you know, show how good I am. I'm the main, oh yeah, I can jump on the bull and I can kill it. There's nothing about that. This is a time when we got to humble ourselves for the sake of Allah, with the fear of Allah, not to impress anybody. We are here to impress Allah. We are not here to impress anybody else. A person does everything for the sake of Allah. He stays away from guna for the sake of Allah. So these fears and these entertainment will start increasing more and more. We have to be intelligent. Allah Ta'ala made Qurbani so that we can make some tamasha. And sometimes it goes on late. A man then misses his tahajjud namaz, his fajr namaz, his musk. Why? Because he was at some fair in the name of Qurbani. So let us be very careful. An intelligent man is a man that goes early to sleep. He's up early for tahajjud. He's early for his fajr namaz. He values that night. Those nights are prime time for a believer. They are golden moments. If you look at the athletes and those people that are into fitness, you'll see they also sleep early because they value that moments in the morning. We as believers should be valuing it even more. This is a time when we are connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This English saying that we all know is actually taught to us from the hadith. Inshallah, when the next time we can go into it a little bit deeper. But just the saying that we all know, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy and wise. Where it's coming from? It's coming from our deen. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was to go out after Isha namaz and he'll whip the people that he see them just sitting and talking. Forget about bribes and going for fairs and going for entertainment. He would whoop the people and that are just talking. He'll say, you all are having discussions in the first part of the night and then you all are sleeping in the last part of the night. Sleep early. Perhaps Allah will give you the tawfiq of tahajjud salat. My time is expired. May Allah Ta'ala give me first the tawfiq, give us all the tawfiq of valuing these days, being careful. May Allah Ta'ala bring about this contentment in our life. And may Allah give us the true spirit of Qurbani. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.